Good morning. Oh, it's good to see everybody up and awake. Christmas has come, right? And gone. But here we are. Just think, it's going to come around again. Unless Jesus comes back, which I really hope every day he does, you know? It's like, come on. But he knows better than us, so. But until next time, this is great. And I love celebrating Christmas. I love celebrating it here at this church. This is just fantastic that this celebration continues on. And we just don't stop it the week before Christmas. And then you walk in and it's like, oh, it's like back to normal. We're still celebrating. We don't stop celebrating the birth of Christ. Jesus is alive and he has stayed that way since he rose from the dead. Amen. And so, again, my name is Pastor Doug Moore. I'm just one of the pastors here at Faith Fellowship. And today, we're going to continue our series, obviously, Special Delivery. But we're going to focus on the wise men today. Not to be confused with some of you wise guys. Okay? The Magi are also what they're called. And it's one of the most fascinating stories of the Christmas narrative. And if you really want to see the whole story, you look at it in Matthew chapter 2, verses 1 through 12. I'm not going to stand up here and read that all for you at this time, just because it's long. You know the story. We'll kind of hit bits and pieces of it. I mean, it takes a special pastor to read that long of a story, or maybe even a genealogy. Our pastor read genealogy 2 weeks ago, and I think it was the most amazing thing I ever heard in my life. And I told him afterwards, I said, man alive, that was fantastic. He said, really? I said, yeah. I said, when you look at the genealogy of Christ and see where he is, who he's always going to be, where he came from, why he came into this world, and how he got here, and the genealogy, the prophecy of him coming all that time, and to read it and to see that it all lines up with who he is and who we are in him today, I'm telling you, the genealogy gets me on shouting ground. And the way he presented it was great, but I'm not going to read to you verses 1 through 12 about the Magi story. It talks about how they had heard about this star, and they knew that it was a prequel to a king being born, and they wanted to follow it. They were star studiers and astrologers and astronomers, and you know the story of the Magi for the most part. These guys were actually the original road trippers. No GPS, no Google Maps, or recalculating. Please make a U-turn. Please. I promise you, my GPS starts out with please make a U-turn every time I put it on. But just a star in the sky. They didn't know exactly where they were going or how long it would take. That wasn't for effect. But that was perfect. They just packed their bags, loaded a camel, right, and said, let's go find a king. And that's what they did. That's faith. That is a great example and a tremendous, microcosm of what faith is to know something naturally, but to supernaturally act on it. It reminds me of when, you know, you had to basically head out on a long trip with kids, right? I bet you guys could tell me stories about heading out on long trips with your kids or grandkids that would scare me. 10 minutes in, right? Are we there yet, right? The are we there yet thing. Or an hour, I'm hungry, right? I'm hungry. And we haven't even seen a Cracker Barrel yet, and they're hungry. 2 hours in. He or she is touching me. And you're thinking, God, I need a star and a miracle, or they're going to see stars. But the Magi kept going because they weren't chasing comfort. They weren't chasing something that they had knowledge of completely in the natural or what they had their soul seeking for. They had knowledge in their heart of what they had learned. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 2, it says that the Magi said to the king, King Herod, when they went to him and said, "We're here to find a king," and that started a whole other deal where the king became very, very, very jealous of who Jesus was, and he didn't even know his name, didn't know who he was, but he heard there's another king rising up, and it freaked him out, and he wanted to go ahead and destroy anybody that would stand in his way of remaining as king. But the Magi went to him. First of all, they knew protocol, and they said, "We're going to go into this kingdom, we're going to go into this region, we're going to stop and see the king. Maybe he has knowledge." And so they said, "Look, we saw his star when it rose, and we have come to worship him." Their story reminds us, basically, when life gets tough, don't give up. And for heaven's sakes, don't forget to look up. Because remember, when the Magi started out, they went forward. They just went out following the star. If they didn't follow the star, they had no other directional find to get to where they're going. The journey is worth it. Don't give up. The wise men traveled approximately about 1,000 miles, several months, probably on camels. And to be honest, camels are not luxury vehicles. I'm not very familiar with camels. I've never rode one. I have put my children on one. Go ahead, take them. You know? And the kids are all excited. They get up there and this thing lumbers up and they're shaking. And it's like, you know, it's like, better you than me. But they're not luxury vehicles, and they're like stomping around, and the kids are being taught. And it's like, it was scary, but man, was it more funny. And to see them be lumbering around, it's like, and I thought in my mind, going back to that, it's like, imagine going thousands of miles on camels or even on donkeys, all right? You put your kids on a donkey at a birthday party or something like that. That's funny enough, but on a camel. But here are these guys going thousands of miles. Months. They're the camels, they're bumpy. They're lumpy. They spit. They don't come with seat warmers or cup holders. They just don't. But that's what they had. And that's what they started out on. Because they had a higher mission, a higher calling on going to a place that they had no idea what was awaiting them. That's what we do every day here at Faith Fellowship. God's called us to something that is massive. We don't quite understand everything that's involved or what it's going to take to get there, but each time God reveals himself to us, we're there to follow. We're there to just make sure we are looking up to him, that he's leading us. It's not what we think in our minds that control what we do. It's what we see in his word, what we hear by the Spirit, and what we pursue, which is him, every day. I'm telling you, this ministry has got a plan that God has given to us that we follow each and every day, and you're proof of it. And God is good, and he reveals it to us each week we come together as we praise and worship together. And the wise men were together in this. They weren't just going off in different directions. They were in this together. They huddled together. They were on these ridiculous-looking creatures together. This wasn't a weekend getaway. This was more like running a marathon through the desert. If we look over in Galatians chapter 6, verse 9, it says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up." They could have quit halfway. They could have said, "Man, this is just, he's born. All right, at least we followed the star. At least we can confirm there was a star. This is getting too uncomfortable." They could have said, "You know what? We've come far enough. Let's just send a fruit basket to Bethlehem. Get it over with. We're done. Let's head back east. We'll be fine." But they didn't. They kept going until they found Jesus. They kept going. Imagine one of the guys saying, "Look, my camel, it's got a really bad attitude today." And they do. Have you ever gone to a zoo and tried to get a camel to come over and take a picture or a selfie with you? They don't like it. But what if they just said, Mike Campbell just doesn't feel good today. He has an attitude. I don't think he wants to go. I think that's a sign we should turn back and go. You know, some people would have done that if they had that type of a mindset, if they thought, well, we're not going to follow this through. If they didn't have some peace of heart, peace of mind, but peace of heart, knowing that they knew that where God was leading them, P-E-A-C-E, that they were going in the right direction because they kept looking up. But another one says, no, we're not going to stop. We've come this far, we're not going to stop now. In Hebrews 12:1, it says, let us then run with perseverance the race marked out before us. They had perseverance. They went forward. They didn't stop. It's like a long road trip or a tough workout. Nobody feels great in the middle of it. Okay? It's tough. It's hard. It's tiring. And you're wondering, why did I even start this to begin with? But it's at the finish line where it all makes sense. Sometimes following God, being a Christ follower, feels like a long camel ride, I guess. Just looking at my kids, not really, you know, for the first 2 seconds, they thought it was awesome. And then the thing started moving, and then it became a terror ride. It feels, sometimes when you're Christ followers, weeks, days, months, years, do not feel comfortable. And it feels slow. And it's like being on a camel. It's slow. It's uncomfortable. And sometimes it just stinks. But the destination makes every mile worth it. I was writing this up, and I was thinking, you know, I wish I could demonstrate without going into just different details of different experiences of what it's like to be a Christ follower when things are slow, things don't look good, and then you get to a certain aspect of things. And I started thinking, man, I wish I could come up with something. But I kind of did in a roundabout way. When I was a youth pastor down in Fort Worth, Texas, we were surrounded by colleges down there in that area, Christian colleges, at least Christian from the standpoint of that's how they were started. You had SMU, Southern Methodist University. You had TCU, Texas Christian University. You had Abilene Christian College up the road there. And so we got really exposed to a lot of really good music and some really good speakers. And there was one speaker that they had at TCU, at Texas Christian University, that I wanted to hear. Didn't agree with him very much about anything, except I had read a few of his books and found him fascinating. I don't know if you've ever heard of this guy. This guy's name is Tony Campolo. And Tony Campolo was a Christian sociologist and taught at Temple, taught at USC, you know, in a way kind of secular, but he was a believer. But he had, you know, very, very, you know, different thoughts and processes than I would have had growing up the way I grew up in the denomination I grew up in. But he fascinated me because I had never really understood what grace was. And I look back now and I see that that was probably one of my first experiences of listening to what grace really meant to the body of Christ, what Jesus brought in the form of grace, God doing for us in Christ what we could never do for ourselves. And so, I read his book, and his book is called It's Friday, But Sunday's Coming. And it is an awesome book. And he talks about where he grew up. He and his family grew up, he grew up in South Philadelphia. And he went to a, I believe it was a Baptist church there in South Philly. He said it was very, very uniquely diverse. He said that that he and his family were one of two white people in the church. Isn't that awesome? And he said, but we grew up there. That was home. And he said the neighborhood changed and the people changed, but that was still our church. And he said, I grew up listening to sermons that just would, he said it was awesome. It was like theater. It was like, you know, we didn't go to the movies, didn't have to. Sunday morning, we'd go to church, you know. And he said that one Easter, or they had a Good Friday service during Easter Lent time. And he said, and I remember he said, I, as a kid, I was like 15 years old. And he said, I wrote this down. He said, every word, and I never took notes. Never. He said, I wrote notes in church, but I never took notes. You know what I mean? And he's like, I took notes on this thing. He said, because it just blew my mind. And he said, and so I'm here at Texas Christian University. It's kind of laid out like this, only, you know, it probably seats about 5,000 people in the auditorium there. And it had three sections, just like we here have today. And I was thinking, I think I might do something that'll make you kind of be participatory in this ministry, in this message today. And if I do this, I promise you we'll get out early. Okay? So make that kind of like, you know, some sort of a carrot in front of you to do this. So it's not too much, but this is how he had us do it at TCU. And I had read the book prior. This is what really, you know, turned me on to this type of a speaker. I love listening to guys I don't always completely agree with, but it stirs my pure mind, you know? It makes me think, and I love that stuff. And that's why I can always have the discussion with somebody who's totally different from what I feel. And some people have no idea how I feel politically, have no idea how I feel about other things. And I keep it that way because I love people. I want to hear what you think. I want to know why you think what you think. I remember taking religion classes after we had moved here about 20 years ago at Lewis and Clark College. I took two religion classes there because I wanted to find out why other people didn't believe the same way I did. I want to know. I mean, I spent years at seminary, spent years in college, got my degrees, got my paper, got all that stuff. But I was more of a, I just heard my side, and I wanted to hear other sides. And so I remember going and listening and understanding why do the Buddhists believe this? Why do the Islamists believe this? Why do they believe this in Tibet? Why? And in all the religions I listened to, And Christianity is so distinct, it's because it's the only religion that we don't have to do anything except the love of our God, because He's done it all. He's done everything for us. And so I love listening to people talk about stuff. I like that. And so Tony Campolo was one of those guys that I would like to listen to. Didn't agree with all the time, but like to listen to. He's very interesting. But he did this. I read the book, and he explained this, what I'm about ready to do, in the book. And he did it at TCU. I was so excited. I didn't know he was going to do it. But he talked about how different religions and different teachings and different things in the world do not compare to the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ. And no matter who we are, if we believe in who Jesus is, the gospel becomes who He is in our life, and we become who He is in this world. It was really neat. He explained it to us, and then he said, let me demonstrate to you the way I grew up in my church in South Philly. And he said, we had a Good Friday service. He said it was always packed because, again, it was awesome. It was church was fun, like it is here, and it's like, but it was different that day, and he said it was so different. He said, I don't know why, but I wrote this all down, and this is what he said. So here's how he did it at Texas Christian University. He said that the name of the sermon was "It's Friday, but Sunday's coming." And he took it from the story of the passion of Jesus on Friday, Good Friday, which is really weirdly named because it was really a bad Friday for Jesus, right? But it was Friday that he was taken and he was tried and he was put on trial and he was beaten and he was led down the street, the Villa Dolorosa, and he was spit upon and all that. And he was nailed to a cross. But it was Friday. And so this is how he started out, and this is what he did at the university. And these kids, it was awesome. They all went along with it. So here's what I'm going to do. This section over here. Wave at me. Hi. When I point like this, okay, I want you to say, amen. But draw out the A. Amen. Okay, on three. One, two, three. Oh, that was good. You guys in the center, when I point to you, I want you to say, well, just like that, okay? So one, two, three.
Well.
That's pretty good. Not bad. Okay, you guys. You guys, my favorite. You guys get to say when I point at you, come on. Ready? One, two, three. You ready? Here's church in South Philly. It was Friday. It got dark on Friday very early. They came and they took our Jesus, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. They put him in front of a kangaroo court, and they said that he was a blasphemer. They said that the Lord of Hosts was a no good robber and a thief. And they put him in a cell, and they drug him out. And as they walked him out of that cell, they spit on him, and they called him King of the Jews, like they did not believe he was King of the Jews. And they told him that he would die that day, and that would be the end of his teaching. But that was Friday. Sunday was coming. It was Friday. It was Friday, and they took Jesus up the hill. They called Golgotha, and it looked like the place of the skull that it was called. And they laid him down there, and they put him on these wooden beams, and they put nails in his wrists and in his feet. And they mocked him, and they rolled dice for his clothes, and they lifted him up and put him in a hole. And as he looked over that crowd, the people jeered him, and they spit on him even more. And they said, you are no longer a king. You never were. But that was Friday. Sunday's a coming. It was Friday. It was Friday, and Jesus was on that cross. He was surrounded by people jeering him, and to the left and to the right were thieves. And the one thief said, Jesus, I don't know who you are, but when you go today to your kingdom, please remember me. And Jesus said to that thief, who was no more deserving of life after death, as Jesus was death in this life, said to that thief, today you shall be with me in paradise. He said to a man who is a real thief, today you will live with me forever, because that man believed in who Jesus was. And the people mocked him even more, gave him a drink of vinegar, and told him he was not who he was. But that was Friday. Sunday's a coming. It was Friday. And he bowed his head. And he said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he took upon himself every sin, every sickness, every disease, each person's poverty and lack. And he said, Father, into your hands I commend my spirit. And he died. He died, and he went to hell with the sins of every person that were not his sins whatsoever. And he laid them there. And people thought it was over. People thought he had died and it was done. Pilate had washed his hands. The clothes were divided up. People were laughing and thinking it was done. But it was only Friday. Sunday is a coming. We cannot judge what we are looking at every day that we face something terrible and awful and think, well, this is just it. This is the way it's going to be. Like those guys following a star. When they weren't looking up, they were looking at sand. A whole lot of sand. Nothing pretty, nothing promising, except when they looked up, they remembered where they were going. If God gave you a vision, don't quit in the middle of it, because Bethlehem is just right ahead. It's still there. You're headed in the right direction. And if it feels like the enemy's fighting you and hitting you head on, it's because the enemy and you are going in opposite directions, and that means you're going in the right direction. You overcome the enemy by the blood of the Lamb and the word of your testimony. That is the power that God has given to us as we seek Him every day. You look up, God's guidance is always there. In Matthew chapter 2, verse 10, it says, when they saw the star, they were overjoyed. Why? Because it was what was guiding them in the midst of nothing. Nothing but desert, nothing but emptiness. But when they looked up, that was the only truth they saw. That was the only truth they know. And that's what the Word of God is for us. The Word of God is our star. The Word of God, it leads us and guides us into all truth. And Jesus said, thy word is truth. It's the only truth there is. It's the only truth we know. The star was their navigation system. It didn't give them turn-by-turn directions. In 500 feet, turn left at the cactus. It didn't do that. Or in my case, at 500 feet, make a U-turn. But it gave enough light for the next step. In the middle of the desert, Bethlehem, well, it's still ahead. It's only Friday, but Sunday's coming. In Psalms chapter 119, verse 105, it says, your word is a lamp for my feet and a light on my path. When they looked up, they saw hope. When they looked around, they probably saw sand. A whole lot of sand. Have you ever driven at night in the fog? A few days ago, right? Yesterday, day before? I mean, your headlights don't show the whole road. And when you turn the brights on, it's worse. It's just enough for the next few feet. But if you keep moving, you'll make it. And if you're driving a safe speed, you won't hit the deer staring at you. That's how God guides us. Just a little more. Just keep on going. Keep on going. It's not about time on our part. It's not about I gotta be there in a hurry on our part. We in this world, and it's been that way forever, not just now in this nuclear age, but it's been that way forever. We always want things right away. We want things now. I mean, if an angel came and told us in 10 years, I'm telling you guys, in 4 years, we'd be like, let's hurry up this along. Let's hurry this up along. What can I do to hurry this up? Case in point, Abraham. Abraham was told by God, you will be a father of many nations. You're going to have a son with Sarah. You're going to, and he's going to be the start of this nation that will outnumber the stars in the sky and the sand on the seashore. And at first you're like, well, we're 100 years old. How can that be? Doesn't matter. I don't look at that. God says, this is what's going to happen. And Abraham's like, okay. And Sarah's like, fine. I think it's funny, but fine. And they believed for a while until it just didn't happen right away. And then Abraham decided to kind of hurry things along, and he went in with his handmaiden called, what's her name? Thank you. And Hagar delivered a son for him, and what was his name? Ishmael. And that wasn't God's promise. Isaac was. And then Isaac came along. And the reason we don't want to hurry when God gives us a plan and try to do something on our own, which is usually by works, is because we don't want to produce an Ishmael, guys. Those things are hard to get rid of. And if you don't have God's promise, you don't have His peace. And if you don't have His peace, then you rely on your ability. And if you rely on your ability, we're sunk. We have to trust in God no matter what the timing may look like to us. That's how God guides us. He doesn't always show the whole map, but he gives us enough light for the next step. I remember when I was a kid and we'd drive over to St. Louis, my mom and I, and it'd be either the evening or the mornings, we'd drive over there to see my father, he'd be in the hospital. And we'd drive by the arch there on the Poplar Street Bridge, and she'd be like, and there'd be fog, and you couldn't see the top of the arch in the morning. You just saw the legs. And she would always say, oh, look, I think someone maybe took the top of the arch. Do you think it's still there? And I said, she says, what, can you see the top? I'm like, no, you can't see the top. And she's like, you know what? You know it's there, though, don't you? And I said, yeah. She said, even though you can't see it, you know it's there, right? Yeah. And she said, that's how God is. Even though there are some times we get into a fog, we get into a place where we don't see him, but we know, whether we see him or not naturally, he is there. That's our faith. That's our belief. That's our trust. God is never going to leave us alone. He is good. James 1:17 says this, every good and perfect gift is from above. If it's not good and it's not perfect, don't sign for it. That sucker's ticking, run. You don't need it. God promises you good and perfect things. The enemy puts in our place bad and imperfect things. The deal is we go through those things and not give up in the middle of those things. We walk through the valley of the shadow of death. We don't build condos there. We go through. Life will try to keep our eyes on what's around us, our bills, bad news, broken relationship. But when you look up through prayer, scripture, faith, you'll find God is still guiding us and shining his light, his love, his word on us. So stop staring at sand. Just start trusting in the word or the star. Don't get your eyes off the word. Worship is the goal. It's not just the destination here. When the wise men finally found Jesus, they didn't say, well, that was a nice trip. Let's just grab a selfie and head home. I would have. No, they bowed down. They worshiped him. And they gave their best gifts, gold, frankincense, myrrh, right? Matthew 2:11 says, on coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down. And they worshiped him. Gold for a king. Frankincense for the priest. Myrrh for a savior who would die. It was the best they had under the old covenant. They gave the gifts they had. The Magi came ready to give their best. Under this new and better covenant, on this side of the cross, on the grace side of the cross, the only thing we have that is the best that we could ever give is just ourselves. We yield ourselves to him. That's all he's looking for. He's just looking for us to believe in who he is. That's it. No catch. No strings. Just believe and you receive. That's what the word says. That's how good God is. Romans 12:1, that first part says, offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, pleasing, holy unto God. This is your true and proper worship. It goes on to say, but be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. And the way we renew our mind is by the word and by prayer. If we want to see the move of God in our lives, wherever it may be, whatever you're believing for, then just trust his word to provide. Jeannie and I are looking for a new house. Okay, we need a place. I'm selling my home to my son who's getting married. I'll give you what they need on their wedding list. But, you know, we know what we need. We know what we need for what I need for work as I work remotely and here at the church. There are things that we need in this home. And we've seen some places, and the places we have seen, they went under contract. Oh, I guess that's not what well, you know, that's not where we're supposed to be. And then another place goes under contract. Oh, man. Now, we could get mad and say, oh, God, why are you doing this to us? Or we could say, thank you, God. We know that you have something much better for us, and we expect it, and we thank you for it in Jesus' name. God provides. He's good. That's it. Yeah, but I get that. We all have our stories. People pass away. I get that. Bad things happen to good people. That's the world we live in. The thief comes to rob, kill, and destroy. But Jesus says, I've come to give you life, and that more abundantly. So what do? We keep our eyes up. We don't bow to the circumstances. We don't look and let the circumstances dictate to us what God has promised us. We allow His Word to be the only truth there is, the only truth we know, because that's what it is. No leftovers, no convenience, not what's easy. Your heart, your time, your obedience, that's the gifts you give to God. It's yourself. And yes, He is still more interested in your heart than in our rapping skills. I have none. Keep following the star. Like the wise men, you might be on a long, bumpy road right now. I get it. You might not know exactly where you're headed. I get it. You might be tired. And discouragement might be trying to get on you and put its hooks in you. And get tempted to just turn back. But remember, don't give up. Even if the camel smells bad or the journey stinks, look up. God's light is still guiding you. His Word is truth. And by the way, if you don't know how to pray for somebody, pray the Word. I do. That's how people say, oh, Doug, you pray so, you know, positive, you know. It's like, well, I just pray the Word. If someone tells me that they need prayer for healing, okay, well, then I'm going to pray what the Word says in Isaiah 53:5. By the stripes of Jesus, we are healed. Don't blame me. That's the Word. Or how about 2 Peter 2:24, that by the stripes of Jesus, you are healed. That's what I see. That's what I pray. That's what I believe. That's the Word. I can't pray anything outside the Word, because then that's just, I'm just clanging a gong. I'm just doing nothing. If you pray the Word, you know you are on the right step. You are in the right place. So this coming year, if we look at Jeremiah in 29 verse 13, it says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart. So does that mean if I don't seek him with all my heart, then I'm going to fail? No. That means if you're going to seek him, remember, Jeremiah was an Old Testament prophet. And he said if back then you sought God with all your heart, you'd find him. Guess what? On this side of the cross, we don't have to look for God somewhere. Jesus came and found us. He looks for us. He's looking for you. You don't find God. He found us. He looked for us. He came into this world to gather us together like the prodigal son. The prodigal son's father didn't just stand there and just say, okay, come unto me, you prodigal son, you. Okay? What did it say he did? It says, when the father saw the prodigal son, Jesus told this story, when he saw his son who ran off come back, it says the father ran out to meet him. That's God's nature. He doesn't just say, you better come to me or else. God says, I've come to meet you where you're at. That's why he's a good God. This coming year, follow the star. Follow the Word. Trust the journey. Keep your eyes on Jesus. And if you get lost along the way, well, just remember God specializes in rerouting. Even more than Google Maps. And I'm telling you, Google Maps lives to tell you you're wrong. But he does it in a way of saying, I've laid out this way for you already. All you got to do is follow it. Just trust me, I'll guide you. God specializes in rerouting broken people to beautiful destinations, man. And at the end of it all, like the wise men, you'll be able to say, it was worth it, because we're all in his presence. And you'll be able to understand even more and more every day that God is truly good. Amen? Man, I was waiting for a amen. Well, come on, but that's all right. Praise the Lord. Father, you are so good. And I thank you, God, for providing for us today everything we needed in Christ. Everything. Spirit, soul, and body. You provided for us. You gave us new life when we believed. You gave us a new way of thinking when we renew our minds to your word and to the Holy Spirit. And God, you've given to us a new view and outlook of our tomorrows where we have no fear. And because of your word, because of who we are in you and who you are in us, we can speak to fear when it comes into our minds and say, no, we cast you out, you gotta go. And fear is no longer an issue. Because you live in us, and we live in you, and you've conquered fear. And we're so grateful, God, for what you've done for us, in us, so that the world may know that you are a good God every day, all the time. You're so good, and we're thankful for all you've done and what you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. We are going to have some folks pray with you, agree with you up here. We're going to continue in our worship here. And after the song, if you feel like you'd like to have prayer or some agreement, come forward. We're here for that. We want to see God move in your life a great way. Have a great, awesome week. Amen.